This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Bismillah, alhamdulillah, wassalatu wassalam ala rasulillah. Dear brothers and sisters, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, and welcome to the final episode of The Life of Aisha, Mother of the Believers. I hope you've really enjoyed and benefited from this series as much or more than I myself have enjoyed learning and researching about the life and legacy of our mother Aisha, radiallahu anha. Before we start coming to the end of our mother Aisha's life, I wanted to share with you a kind of a humorous episode that happened in her life, a little incident between her and her nephew Abdullah bin Zubair, which once again brings to light the humanness of our mother Aisha and of the Sahaba, and how, you know, the sorts of things that happen between families, even in our times, sometimes happen between them. But alhamdulillah, they always found a way to resolve issues and to make amends. Urwa bin Zubair, who was Abdullah bin Zubair's brother, right? They are, of course, the children of Asma bint Abi Bakr, Aisha's sister. So they are Aisha's nephews. Urwa bin Zubair relates this story, and he says that Abdullah bin Zubair was the most beloved person to Aisha, excluding the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and Abu Bakr. And he, in his turn, was the most devoted to her. So they were really known for their relationship. And of course, Aisha was known as Abdullah. She took her kunya from this nephew of hers, Abdullah. She was like his mother. And Urwa tells us that Aisha used to, she didn't used to keep any of the money that was given to her by Allah. In other words, the money that was given to her by the state, the stipend, or anything that she ever received in terms of gifts, etc., she didn't used to keep it. She used to spend it in charity. And you know, sometimes she used to spend all of it in charity. So Abdullah bin Zubair, when he heard about this, he said, Aisha should be stopped from doing this. Okay. And so somehow this got back to Aisha. Okay, and she heard that Abdullah bin Zubair had said Aisha should be stopped from spending her money in charity, basically. But of course, he was objecting to her spending all of her money in charity. So she lost her temper, or she became annoyed. And so she said, really, shall I be stopped from doing so? And in a moment of upset, she said, I vow that I will never talk to Abdullah bin Zubair. SubhanAllah, she got that upset. Now, when Abdullah ibn Zubair heard about this, he was very, very upset because, you know, this was his most beloved aunt. This was mother of the believers. He grew up with her, right, in her lap. So he was trying his best to make amends, trying to find a way of speaking to his aunt, sending messages to her. And you know, because she had made this vow, she wanted to abstain from talking to him and be true to her vow. And so Abdullah bin Zubair became so worried because, you know, our mother Aisha, one of the things you'll notice from her seerah, from her life, is that she had a very strong resolve. When she decided to do something, she would make sure it was done. So now that she'd decided she wasn't going to talk to Abdullah, Abdullah didn't know how he could find a way of getting her to break her vow. Now, what Abdullah bin Zubair did, he took some of his, I believe, his uncles, and or uncles of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he went to them and said, you know, told them about his predicament. They said, come with us, and when we ask for permission to visit Aisha radiallahu anha, then you enter her house along with us. She won't know, right? And so he did that. So what they did was, they were behind the curtain and they said, can we enter the house? And she said, yes. And they said, all of us, can all of us enter? And of course, they were doing tawriya, which is a type of not lying, but being, saying the truth, but with another meaning, right? Where the person doesn't fully understand what you're trying to say. So they said, you know, can we all enter? And she said, yes. And so, of course, Abdullah bin Az-Zubair was with them. And so he entered, he jumped in front of the curtain because he was her nephew and he was allowed to do that. And he surprised her. And then he started to beg her to speak to him and he apologized and he tried to make amends. And our mother Aisha cried and she accepted him. Subhanallah. And then Abdullah bin Az-Zubair, because Aisha radiallahu anha had broken her vow, he sent 10 slaves to her as a gift so that she could then free those slaves. She only needed to free one slave, but he gave her 10 slaves. And then Aisha radiallahu anha, because she felt so uncomfortable that she had broken this vow, she continued to free more and more slaves until she had freed 40 slaves. And Urwa says that our mother Aisha said, I wish I had specified what I would have done in case of not fulfilling my vow when I made the vow, so that I might have done it easily. Subhanallah. So here, another kind of humorous, you could say, episode in the life of our mother Aisha radiallahu anha that shows you that she was very human. And I think throughout our mother Aisha's life, one of the things that really stood out, didn't it, was her character. She was very devout, very careful regarding her hijab and veiling, and yet she played a vital role in the social, religious, and even political life of her people, of the Ummah. She had a very strong personality. She didn't hide that personality. Instead, she channeled it to make a positive and powerful contribution. She lived a very frugal life, while with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and after his death. So even though people all around her had changed their lifestyle and the Muslims had become very wealthy, she herself tried to stay as close to the lifestyle of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam as possible. And she used to give away the salary or the stipend that used to come to her regularly. Sometimes she gave away so much that she'd forget to keep some for her own meals. One of the things you notice about her character is that she harbored no ill will towards people. And even when they had been people who'd harmed her in some way, it didn't prevent her from speaking the truth about them and praising them when they were praiseworthy. So we gave the example of the Egyptian man who told her about the governor of Egypt, that he was a good man, he'd been fair and treated the people well. And this governor of Egypt had been responsible for the killing of her brother, Muhammad bin Abi Bakr. But that didn't prevent her from saying to the Egyptian man, whatever the treatment of this man was towards my brother Muhammad, I cannot help telling you that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said in my presence, O Allah, if a governor of my people is hard on them, you too be hard on them. But if he is kind to them, you too be kind to them. We also noticed that she didn't hesitate in praising her co-wives. You know, when they, for example, when one of them passed away, she would praise them and their virtues, and she would recognize them for their position with Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So that rivalry that there was between them, it didn't stop her from being truthful and just. We look at the worship of our mother Aisha. She was known to pray extra prayers, not just the obligatory prayers. She was a person who fasted a lot. She had her own mushaf, and she gave a lot of charity. We already mentioned her charity. Her prayers used to be very long. And people said when she was in prayer, it was as if she had lost her connection with the world. Subhanallah, she had such devotion and such khushu'. She loved to go for Hajj and Umrah, and she used to make tawaf from further away from the Kaaba, right? So that she didn't have to be, in amongst the crowds of men. And that would make the tawaf longer, but she just preferred that, you know, to have that extra level of privacy. She fasted and prayed extra prayers, we said. She considered the duha prayer indispensable. She didn't act like a person who was guaranteed paradise, right? You and me, if we knew, you know, if one of us was the wife of the Prophet ﷺ and we knew that we had this position, this status, you know, how many of us would live a life the way our mother Aisha did, right? Many people would become complacent, thinking, well, I'm guaranteed paradise. But look at our mother Aisha. She didn't behave like a person who thought that she was guaranteed paradise. In fact, she used to cry when certain particular, you know, powerful verses of the Quran were recited, especially about the hellfire. It used to bring her to tears. She did not harbor grudges. Even the people who were punished, for example, for slandering her, she spoke decently about them. And she wouldn't let anyone say anything negative about, for example, Hassan bin Thabit, the poet of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, even though he had been involved in some way in spreading the rumors, because of all the good that he had done, and the fact that she realized how weighty that was, she would never allow people to be negative about him. So now we come to the final days of our mother Aisha radiallahu anha, and we come to a scene with Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu, who came to visit her in her final illness. Inshallah, after the break, I will tell you what happened when Ibn Abbas visited her in Ramadan of 58 Hijri, when our mother Aisha was ill. Until then, assalamu alaikum. Welcome back. Before the break, we mentioned that our mother Aisha radiallahu anha in 58 Hijri, in the month of Ramadan, became ill. Her condition kept getting worse. Around this time, she was about 67 years old. So she was an elderly lady. People came to visit her and pay their respects. And amongst those people was Abdullah ibn Abbas. He was a great scholar. And of course, he was the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam's cousin. When she heard that Ibn Abbas was here to meet her, she hesitated, because one of the things that would irritate her while she was ill was that people would come and just praise her and praise her. And one of the things you notice about the Sahaba is that they were very careful, and they really did not want to ever become arrogant. They didn't want to become, they didn't want to behave as people who were guaranteed paradise, you know. This is why they used to worship Allah so much. They used to seek forgiveness. They never considered themselves to be great or wonderful. So it would irritate her when people came and showered praise on her. And she thought that, well, if Ibn Abbas comes in, he's probably going to do the same. But her nephews, they encouraged her and pressed her to allow him in, you know, because of his great status and what a great scholar and Sahabi Ibn Abbas was. So, of course, this was behind the curtain. Ibn Abbas entered and he stood behind the curtain. He asked her about her health. And then he said, from the first day of creation, you had been singled out to be mother of the believers. You were the most favorite wife of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. The moment your soul leaves the body, you will be in the company of your Lord. And then he went on. He said, because of you, Ya Umm al-Mu'mineen, Allah revealed the verses relating to tayammum, the dry ablution, and made life easier for the believers. The Quran speaks of the purity of your character, and those verses are now recited in the masajid day and night. And you can imagine Aisha radiallahu anha sitting there or lying there, and she said to him, Ibn Abbas, please, please, say no more about these things. I wish I had never been born. She was so fearful of the meeting with Allah. She was so fearful about her own sins or mistakes that she considered herself to have committed, that she never wanted to hear people praising her. In fact, she would make a lot of istighfar. In fact, she said for her final will, when people asked her where she wanted to be buried, she said that she wanted to be buried at night, that they should not wait till the morning. And she wanted to be buried with her companions, with her female companions, meaning her co-wives, in the graveyard of the Muslims. People suggested to her that she be buried in her old home next to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and Abu Bakr. But she shook her head. She saw it as part of her repentance for what she considered her mistakes, to be buried with her co-wives in the graveyard of the Muslims. And if you go there today, you'll see that's exactly where she's buried, in Jannat al-Baqi' with the other wives of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. It was as if, even at the time of death, she was constantly fighting against her nafs. And that's one of the themes of Aisha radiallahu anha's life, right? She had a strong personality. She had a strong will. She had a very keen sense of right and wrong. And she felt very strongly about certain things. But when it came to her nafs, she was always trying to fight it. Whether it was when she felt jealousy towards the co-wives, whether it was dealing with people who had slandered her, she was always trying to do the right thing and not the thing that her nafs or the lower self invited her to do, right? So for every single one of us, we can see that in any situation like this, if a person had the ability to be buried in a place of honor, right? And of course, being buried next to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and Abu Bakr is an honor, right? Any one of us would have taken that opportunity. But our mother Aisha radhiyallahu anha, she didn't think in that way. She wasn't there to seek glory. She wanted to do the right thing, and she was trying to subdue her nafs. And so she told them to bury her quietly in the dead of night in the graveyard of the Muslims. On the evening of Ramadan the 17th, 58 years after the Hijrah, when our mother was around 67 years old, the news of the death of our mother Aisha, Ummul Mu'mineen, spread throughout Medina. People had just finished the Taraweeh prayers. I just want you to imagine what that must have felt like for the people in Medina. Our mother Aisha had passed away, and it was Ramadan, and the Taraweeh prayers had just finished. Crowds began to flock onto the streets when they heard, and the general sentiment of people was, Ya Allah, we have been deprived of a great teacher. We have been deprived of the teacher who was taught personally by Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The people of Medina were very, very aware that with the death of Aisha, it was the end of an era. No more did they have the luxury of being able to come to Aisha radhiyallahu anha and ask her questions and have the disputes resolved. And if there was any ayah of Quran or any hadith that they wanted some explanation regarding, no longer did they have the luxury of being able to enter into her presence and asking her. Our mother Aisha radiallahu anha was buried in the burial ground of Medina in accordance to her will. Thousands of people attended the funeral prayer, which was led by Abu Huraira. And it was said that it was the most attended nighttime funeral in the history of Medina. Huge crowds of women came out into the streets too, in reverence. Brothers and sisters, our mother Aisha left a huge legacy, a body of hadith, preservation of the teachings of the sunnah. She narrated 2,210 hadith. These hadiths form the foundation for the rulings and rituals of our deen, of Islam. In preserving these hadiths, she was a key part in preserving Islam itself, the final message of God, of Allah, to humanity. She was not just a footnote in history. She made history. She was a cornerstone of our history. Aisha radhiyallahu anha not only taught women, not only did she teach knowledge to both men and women, but she admired women who sought knowledge. She said, "How great are the women of the Ansar. Their modesty did not prevent them from seeking knowledge about their religion." She was known, as we said, as the most beloved of the most beloved to Allah, Habibatu Rasulillah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. I pray, dear brothers and sisters, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grants us the wisdom and the foresight to learn from the life of our mother Aisha radhiyallahu anha. I know I myself have learned so much from her. As a woman who had a strong personality, who had a strong will, I learned from our mother Aisha that it's not about quashing or distorting your personality. It's about channeling it and using it in a way that will be pleasing to Allah. I personally have learned from our mother Aisha that when we make mistakes, or when we've done something and then felt that it was an error of judgment, instead of falling down and feeling like a failure and, you know, feeling that there's no point in us doing anything, we should instead change course, right? Find the thing that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala really wants us to do, and then pursue it single-mindedly and do it very, very well, with ihsan, with excellence. I learned from our mother Aisha that we are all human beings. She is also a human being who felt certain emotions, who sometimes got upset, sometimes felt jealousy, all of the range of human emotions that a person feels. Our mother Aisha radhiyallahu anha would have also felt, but what she had was immense self-control and the ability to correct herself, the ability to always ask, what does Allah want of me? What is the just thing for me to do and to say in this situation? And so, dear brothers and sisters, I hope that from this series, you will take all of these lessons and so many more lessons from our mother Aisha and the Sahaba who lived with her, who lived around her, her students, her relatives, her nephews, her nieces, her parents, her beloved husband, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And don't just think of them as stories to listen to, but think of them as things that you can apply to your own life. I pray that Allah grants our mother Aisha the highest level of Jannah, and that Allah unites us with our mother Aisha one fine day in Jannah, where perhaps you and me will sit at the feet of our mother Aisha and ask her about all of those eventful days, all of those adventures, all of those special moments she spent during her time on earth. I pray Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allows us to join her in Jannah. Jazakumullahu khairan, dear brothers and sisters. And with that, I will bid you farewell. If there were any mistakes during the series, then they were mine. If there was anything good that I was able to convey, then it is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the grace of Allah. I ask you to please forgive me my shortcomings and keep the story of our mother Aisha alive in your homes. والسلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك، أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت، أستغفرك وأتوب إليك.